This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Change the year because it would be potentially for next year's application. We just thought it'd be easier for calculating and allocating the funds. So that's really the only thing I changed was the dates and adding whole dollars.
Some of the applications had like just cents.
Yeah, it's just to make it so that the requests aren't in cents.
Yeah.
Make it easier, cleaner.
Makes sense.
I guess in this day and age with technology, the cents shouldn't really matter. Aren't we being accountable to taxpayers by paying down to the cent? I mean, does it really matter if your spreadsheet's calculating it or if your accounting software's calculating it?
Would it create a create an environment where people start rounding up?
I think they already do. Well, yes, but and have been for some time.
One thing I will say about that is Iris' point's well taken. They have to provide documentation and receipts for everything that we disperse funds for. So they could, like, if it's a nice round number, they could submit receipts that go beyond that amount to show what it's covering. And if they submit, let's say, they got a distribution for air conditioning or something like that, they have to produce that. Correct me if I'm wrong. They have to produce that invoice to Kristen before she vouchers it and sends it down to our office for payment. I assume the city does something similar. So we wouldn't just give them what they requested. They have to show documentation that they have either already spent that money or...
And in that same flavor, when they present those invoices, sometimes those invoices are with cents. So they would only be paid out.
Would only be paid out the cents. That's correct.
I mean, my point was, like, if someone really needs $40,000, they're asking for $60,000 and going, if I only get $40,000, that's what I need. Right? And that's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But it's almost like the AC unit, if they requested $20,000 and it came in at $19,250 or something, then they only get the $19,250.
Right.
They only get the actual.
And 25 cents, right?
Yeah, whatever. So, yeah, I don't.
I just don't see.
A lot of times they don't quite get their full amount depending on. They don't have the receipts to reimburse to equal the amount.
Did you really have any comment? Did you talk to her about it at all?
She did say that she thought it was a good idea. And then I just asked if we could do it now so I wouldn't forget to do it next year. But it's just a suggestion. I guess it doesn't necessarily make it cleaner on our end.
The other thing that's highlighted there on the back side of that is about the unexpended funds. And I know the city automatically reverts funds back, but the county doesn't. Mm-hmm. So should we strike that, Chairman?
That's the way it's always been written in the guidelines, and the entities are very good about writing a letter if their project is taking longer or so. And that does happen periodically as we.
It gives them an option to do a written authorization of waiver. So if they last longer than a year, they have to provide some reason or explanation why. Just can't hold it over for nothing, for no reason.
Is the idea of going to whole dollars on this, does that make it easier for the city and the county, or easier for the 1% committee?
I think it's just making it for easier for Julie and I and the commissioners. Okay. Just to know, to calculate in for the spreadsheet, that we're not having to calculate to the very cent. I mean, I know that when they get distributed, they do get to the cent.
Sure.
I think we were just trying to make our spreadsheets cleaner and calculations cleaner, faster.
I don't have a problem with myself. Anything else on the whole dollar? Main Street signage, Mr. Chair.
All right, there again is a request from an outside entity, the DCPA, to help with signage. I know there's a lot of discussion about all the core section of Main Street is finished, but this construction project isn't done. You have businesses further down Main Street who are now going to be impacted, whether it's the greenhouse, all the businesses in the Cimarron Mall. There's a beauty shop, a couple hotels. Again, I sincerely believe it is important and part of our responsibility to try to mitigate some of the impacts of this. So I would again ask if we please consider some signs to help get travelers to navigate around or through and direct them to parking, especially in the construction zones. And again, yes, it is nice that the downtown core is done, but they're not the only businesses that are being impacted. And it was like, okay, the little Main Street part's done and the big signs are coming down and moving on. And I really struggle with that. You know, they're the ones that generate the 1% that we just talked about.
What's your suggestion, Chairman?
My suggestion, again, is to look at funneling some of the traffic down Lobin. And I guess, Wes, my concern is when the Lobin Street project was sold, and one of the reasons for concrete was going to be how wonderful and great it is, I think it's unfortunate if the feeling of the city is that you don't want to push any of the traffic onto the side streets because you're worried about wear and tear on the roads. That's what roads are for. I think that we've got to try to figure out ways to mitigate on the sections over here, and it's going to be hard because you don't have a ball field, a county parking lot, a library parking lot, those areas to funnel people. I still think it's important of some sort of wayfaring at the end of Bomber Mountain to push the large traffic with camper trailers who were planning to go downtown to try to get them to turn there and park at the ball field before they go patronize the local businesses. But again, if I'm the only one that thinks this is a problem, I still think maybe you should visit with some of these folks, because I'm getting my ear chewed on, and it's not just by one downtown business in particular.
I've heard from many as well, and that's been discussed about if we put something out there to push them down towards Lobin, but I know Public Works was concerned about that, because you're going to have locals going up and down Lobin, and I'm going up and down Lobin, so many are already going up and down Lobin, and then if you push every single car in Lobin for 2 months, then you're right in the middle of residential neighborhoods. And you're pushing all this traffic right by houses. I mean, if it's happening, it's going to happen. But if you're saying every car would go through there, you're asking for another problem, potentially. I understand where you're coming from, and I thought that kind of the same early on as well. The three signs we had on You said those were taken down already?
It looks like the big flashing on the corner of Bomber Mountain is already gone.
Okay, the one parking lot there, and then the one on the end, those are... But the...
I think the one at Bomber Mountain's...
The...
check.
Main Street will have... They're continuing to have one side open, right? Correct.
And what's maybe it's something as easy as business is open.
Yeah.
Parking in rear, again.
And I've met with the chamber, and they did that for downtown a couple weeks back, and they can probably do the same sort of thing. But a sign could be, I'm open to suggestions from somebody.
And social media is great, but not everybody uses or follows social media. And if I'm pulling into town and I'm running into a sea of orange cones, the first thing that I'm not going to do is probably pull up my phone and try to go to somebody's Facebook page to figure out how I get through it.
Maybe I was misinformed, but I understood that the construction already shows up on the like travel apps, like MapQuest and that tells you that's there.
It tells you it's there, but I don't think it tells you where the...
It doesn't give
streets
you
details. Are closed or a one-lane traffic. It says construction ahead.
When we met with WyoDOT, they didn't want any traffic on those side streets. Mainly some of those semis wouldn't even make it. And granted, you know, if you just want to try to restrict it to semis on this, but if you do that, there's going to be a semi driver trying to hit lob, and then there's some of those turns they won't make.
Just as we always seem to have a semi driver that tries to make Crazy Woman Canyon.
And it shuts it down for a few days, so we don't want to shut that street down for a while until we can get
I'm not saying I think the state doesn't want to direct traffic because then they become liable for the street that gets tore up.
This, and that was also discussed in that meeting.
Mm-hmm. Some of those semis are pretty heavy, oversized loads that would tear up our side streets. The heavy loads have to go down through construction. It's the only road that can handle the weight.
It seems like we've had that issue when there was 4th Street construction where those trucks were going down side streets and caused a lot of destruction on the streets and burnout.
Okay, well, I've said my piece. I've been saying my piece for a year and a half, so I'm done with putting it up.
I wasn't here a year ago, Bill, so I don't know anything about that, but I will follow up with one of us can follow up with Kevin and see how the feeling is there with the public work side of things.
Another thing with lots is, I don't know if we can do this temporarily or not, but to restrict parking along that street, at least on one side, because it's bad enough, you know, I guess I put up with it, you know, you have to dodge in and out, but when you get a bunch of foreigners in there, and they're dodging in and out and not too happy about having to do that. But, and I don't know if that can be, it looks to me like most of those cars that park there are just kind of optional cars. I mean, they didn't have to park there, but they did. And if it crossed the street, park on one side, I guess that would be better. What we have now, we've got parking on one side and also parking on the next. The next thing you know, you've got a figure eight to do it.
Anything else on parking and directing traffic? Dave, what's good? What was that? Summer Information Center.
The Summer Information Center hasn't been funded. So there is a request for help. The figures that I was provided by the chamber is it's $27,000 to get the center running for the summer. And I think, given construction, given that Crazy Woman Canyon is going to have also three bridges replaced in it, which makes opening it on limited occasions basically impossible. That it's, again, critical that we have this resource out there that sees very good foot traffic based on the survey data that they provide from the volunteers and the paid staff out here. I think it'd be really unfortunate to have that resource sitting idle for the summer. I'm going to make a proposal at our commissioner meeting today to try to use a portion of our unallocated person dollars to try to help get that open. I don't know if the city has any interest, thoughts on the Summer Information Center.
Well, it's a shame that, you know, it goes way back to when Scott was on that board. Scott and myself was on that board years ago. You know, that little house in the prairies, we used to call it, got built with 1% funds. And if we're not going to be able to staff it, but I don't know if that was part of their 1% request, and you just didn't get, that there wasn't enough money there this year, and they didn't get funded for that, or...
Wes, my understanding is that went to the Tourism Association, who didn't have the available funds, or for whatever reason, chose not to fund it through
the community grant. I think they
had
funded it through a grant last year, but historically it had been part of the 1%, that was the majority of the 1% fund was for funding the Satellite Information Center.
If I may interject, the Tourism Association had budgeted $15,000 last year for the chamber to cover the cost of their personnel. I think they used that for both the summer center and their visitor center downtown. And we plan to allocate that again when our fiscal year begins July 1st this year. So currently, we're going to have a meeting today where we approve our budget, preliminary budget, and that's part of our budget currently. So.
So would they not need all the 27 then if they have 15?
That'd be the hope, so.
Well, you guys are getting twice as much money on your tourism dollars now.
Can you raise that up
a little bit?
There's been some other discussions between Amber and Anita that have covered some various topics that would help the Chamber with funding. Those talks are ongoing and haven't been resolved through our process of where we're getting into our fiscal year yet. At our last meeting, our board was amenable to the idea of moving into their building and then paying them rent that would help supplement their financial position. But then again, those talks are still taking place, so that's not resolved yet at this point. And that would be additional $4,000, $5,000 for the chamber there. Again, that's not resolved at this point. So in terms of the tax increase, that hasn't kicked into our revenue yet. And if you look at last year, our spending was our budget was $470,000. And so our tax increase kind of catches up to what we were spending last year. So at this year, we're kind of in that boat of putting everything in kind of the same amounts until we see how that tax increase affects us and we got it.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, question?
Yes, sir.
So the 27 minus the 15, correct?
That would be my
take.
12,
so like 6 grand a piece.
Yeah,
if the council chooses to
split the difference.
Yeah, you can put that on the agenda tonight for discussion. Yeah,
I can have 6 apiece.
And I think there is money there for unallocated 1%. We got to find a way there. The community, through 1% funds, had this thing built. And it's important. I mean, it catches the people off the interstate. As long as they have a way to get downtown.
And this question is probably more about the clerk, but are we currently taking our, 5% or whatever we can take from the JCTA to maintain that there's a provision in that contract that the city and county can take some or can allocate some of the money to pay for their administrating the funds, and I don't know if that was, we did that for a few years, but I don't think we're doing it now.
I think like Councilman Haskins said, I think you have some unexpended
I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, Mr. Mayor, for everybody's benefit, yes. Councilman, at one point, because of projected overtime and additional costs associated with having the Bass Festival, the solar eclipse, and at that point, Longmire Days was still a major event. There were a period of time where 5% of the percentage was held back. And again, that money can only be paid to cover the impacts of that event. So we don't withhold anything in the treasurer's office for collecting it and dispersing it to the JCTA. And after we got through those events, then that 5% was taken off because we didn't have justification for holding that back.
Okay. Yeah, I remember we did it once, but I couldn't remember why.
Yeah, it literally, we were over the course of a month and a half going to have massive events that we didn't know what it was going to do to overtime for services.
Question for JCTA, do you know about how many people went through the visitor center last year?
I know she sent the data.
Ballpark,
yeah. I think on average you're talking to about 2,000 people. I don't think any particular month exceeded 1,000, but there were 3 months about 800, 500, 700, something like that.
Okay. Are they still doing Memorial Day, though? Labor Day?
That's my understanding.
Yeah. There's some years they tried to do it a little many years ago, and it just
it wasn't worth it. Yeah. You know, and I understand there's some discussion about the information centers are going by the wayside, which if we're going to transition away from having, that's something I think you don't just pull the rug. You plan and put things in place to fill the gap. So, and certainly, I'm not advocating.
Was that conversation though ones that are state funded? Like,
I don't think there's been a state funded information.
Or not state funded. What the only sharing work then? A bigger one.
So that's actually owned by the state.
That's owned by the state.
That's their welcome centers. You have one there. You have one in Cheyenne.
Okay.
You've got one on 25 right as you come in around the Beulah area. I don't know if they have one on 80.
There's just two really, because Beulah and Cheyenne. I'm not sure who owns the property up in Sheridan, but Sheridan Travel and Tourism actually runs the building and staffs it. That's what their office is about.
Yeah, I thought that was a White Dog facility, but I guess it's a Sheridan facility.
So we'll put that on the agenda to discuss tonight. We'll put that on the agenda, and you're going to be discussing it today.
Yeah, I'll bring it up today.
I made it above the added on the. Okay. Anything else on the Summer Information Center?
All right, thanks for hearing me out.
Chair, WCCA WAM Interim Committee Outreach.
Yes, so I hope everybody had the opportunity to review the Joint Corporations Committee meeting that happened on 5/8. It's on the legislature's YouTube channel. We were the first item that was up. It was really wonderful to see cities, towns, counties, clerks, treasurers, county attorneys, clerks of district court, and then even associations of elected folks that were there to share their thoughts on just how important associations are and what they do. Unfortunately, the legislator that doesn't believe we should exist, I guess maybe wasn't listening. But anyway, just please take some time to review that. It's very enlightening. June 3rd and 4th in Gillette, the Joint Revenue Committee is going to be there, and local government will be discussed on part of the agenda there pertaining to just some different things. A lot of it is going to be focused on, I believe, that's approach, excuse me. Anyway, just if you have the opportunity to go over, or WAM or the WCCA needs volunteers, the Clerks Association, anyone, those are open to the public and it's worth attending. June 9th, the Joint Gaming Commission is going to meet in Casper. And one of the key agendas, and it's just a one-day meeting at 1:30 on June 9th, they are going to look at former Revenue Chairman Madden's favorite topic, horse racing and gaming, and how the revenue split works on that. I think there's also going to be some discussion on siting and approval. And you'll remember we had a bill that got almost to the finish line, but then got delayed and destroyed in the Senate, that would have dealt with some of the questions about what happens when you cite something and then you have a bad actor, can you? And what happens with the 100-mile rule? And technically, with the 100-mile rule, if there is a live race in Gillette, the facilities in Buffalo and Sheridan have to shut down if they are not affiliated with the track that's running the race. So, very timely. So, if you have interest in that, I encourage you to take part in that. June 12th, Capital Finance is going to meet in Cheyenne, and at 11:15 a.m., they're going to continue to work on the bill that passed, Senate Bill 145, which allows local governments to invest in equities. The bill was approved by the voters of Wyoming. It passed the House and the Senate by 2/3, was signed by the governor, and now they have to do the rulemaking framework to set up how that's going to do and how it will be handled. And then later in the day, CapFin is going to look at state use of gaming revenue. So I threw that on you, Jared Madden. June 23rd and 24th, the probes will be in Gillette. The 23rd is going to be dedicated entirely to fire restoration and what the efforts that were put in place and how they're going. But the 24th at 10:15 a.m. is sales tax distribution, and this is going to really look at some of those bills that were floated in the session to potentially change the formula on how those disbursements go. We really don't have anything in July. And then again, August 7th and 8th, and there's no agenda out yet, but that Select Committee on Gaming will meet in Cheyenne. But the 12th of August, Select Federal Natural Resources is gonna meet here in Buffalo. So as we get a little closer to that, we may think of doing some things to welcome our friends in the legislature to Buffalo and thank them for coming to our community and holding a hearing. And then the 21st and 22nd, again, no agenda is out, but revenue will meet in Casper.
When is the Gillette meeting of the revenue? I didn't get the date.
That's June 3rd and 4th, Mike.
Okay.
And the agenda is out for that, so if there's...
Has the WCCA sent out any questionnaires on how gaming has impacted Buffalo?
So we
had an event.
We just got back from our spring meeting, and one of our committees had a whole session on that. And that's unfortunately a committee I don't sit on. It's our health committee, but we just did a whole session on gaming.
WAM and Sonata. How many law enforcement calls, EMS calls, fire calls, all that sort of stuff have been sent there?
I don't know. It sounds like from the high school graduation speeches, the kids like to go to the Downs. So I hope they're all the 18-year-old kids.
I had one that's like, I won $500. And I'm like, no, you didn't. Like, yeah, I did. And I'm like, you're not old enough. Well, I won it there. I'm like, great. careful who you tell.
We've received quite a bit of income from Wyoming Down, I guess. It looks like on our financials we've been receiving some income, but I don't know the exact number.
I think the number that I looked at through the 30th of April was about 56,000 had come into the county from that line. We differentiate the lottery Keno revenue from the historic horse racing from the skilled games.
Yeah, we have them all lumped together.
I think it's
gambling and crap, so we need to split that out.
Took bingo out of the bars. So total crap. That's my opinion.
Interim, if we're not on the agenda, we're still on the menu. So please make an effort to participate, either as a citizen or in your official duties.
Can you send them an email with that list, or do you have that in your email you could forward of what those dates and what they were?
Yeah.
I was trying to take notes, but I can't really read my own writing half the time. Maybe you already have something out.
Yep, I have a request. I will.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Any more questions on the interim committee? Thank you for it.
Yep.
Well, go on.
Somebody's the committee for the 250th anniversary. I'll give a bushes of
heritage to semi clearly centennial.
Yep.
So that's three times about.
I can't say
it. That bottle works for me.
Fair enough.
So this is just a mock-up of the dog park, and as funds get tighter, I think we need to continue to get more creative on how we're going to spend those funds, and this is an opportunity for us to get grant money and help with the fence into a dog walk. My particular interest in this is more educational in nature. We came up with a history walk where the park would have signage, but then it would be like a timeline. So it would start out with what happened 250 years ago in Johnson County. And working in conjunction with the library and the museum to come up with our timeline, we have 12 events that we would highlight. So we would give a brief narrative, kind of like the Johnson County War here. We could raise money by maybe doing a little promotion like for the TA and putting a little QR code that would send people to their site, talk about their events, what's going on in their venue and what they're offered. But then the QR code on the right would send them to a historical site, like the one on the TA is hosted by the state of Wyoming. Which gives a really nice account of the Johnson County cattle war and some really great pictures. So this could be used not only for tourists to bring economic development, again, we can't quantify that, but think about what it could do for our local people that don't get out and don't really know the history. I mean, sometimes it's hard to get people into brick and mortar, but curiosity is kind of the pivotal point of learning. And if people are driving by and wondering what this is, it might drive them to actually stop and delve deeper. So we could reach a lot of our local folks, our seniors, but then offer our schools to do a walking history about Johnson County, what happens. One of the reasons we came up with this idea is the amount of points that it would gain through crossing at high points if it's a park, high points if it's got technology or QR codes, high points if it covers scope and sequence and adds room for future to be added on because we're making history every day. High points if it includes culture, which we built in and talked about. So this is an opportunity to bring an amenity, an amenity to our community, and a space we already own is being taken care of without too much extra income from the city or the county. Dog parks are sought at. There's an app for dog parks. People who are traveling with their dogs look for them. And if my suggestion was the corner of Fetterman and Burritt, but there could be other city properties or that are more conducive, making it so that it's easy to take care of, not putting a lot of stuff in. It's just an open space for dogs to run, one for large dogs and one for small dogs. I kind of like the idea of this
fence the black just a little bit up, you know, step up from just stainless steel, just to be classy. And the name of the park that we came up with yesterday is
Tales of Independence, a Dog in History Walking Park.
So Tales being a play on the word T-A-L-E-S, but having it be T-A-I-L-S, Tales of Independence, and then a walking history. So again, it would be a timeline. It would be around the park sequentially so that you could learn about the history going on in Johnson County. And a venue that's maybe innovative in getting people outside with or without their dogs. Bird's a pretty traveled street. It's one of our safe routes to schools, so a lot of kids walk by. Kids know about QR codes, so they may learn something just by walking by and maybe spark an interest into something else. I don't know. I know Mike had a concern about liability, so I put the little blurb under there.
Yep.
We are no more liable than people walking on our trails with dogs or in our parks with dogs. So I really don't see that as a barrier. And then on the back is an example of dog park rules. Studies have shown, I mean, I know there's some concern about who's going to pick up the dog do. Studies have shown that the more you post that you need to pick up after your own dog, the more apt people are likely to do it. But we've also talked about getting groups involved, like the food pantry, where once a week they would come. It could be a 4-H project. We could get school children involved, community groups, maybe just citizens who have an interest or would like to see this. It'd be nice if it were done before they mow the area. I know the county's pledging some funds. And if we get the land, maybe we can agree to help maintain the fence. It is going to require a water hydrant. It's close to bathrooms. It's close to the trail. It's close to other park areas. I think it fits nicely. It's downtown. It's not too far off of 4th Street. I think it could draw people in. And again, it just has one more reason for people to stay just a little bit longer in Buffalo and then maybe go someplace else. And I, because we're not a destination place, I think the more opportunities we give people to do that, it helps our businesses, and it helps Buffalo thrive.
And that land with the side hill is not really conducive to any other uses. It's a good fit for that, and the rain will help wash the stuff down to the creek.
I'll tell the EPA that.
Who's paying for all this?
Well, this would be contingent upon a grant. The Quincentennial has a grant, so if we don't get the grant, we would not do a dog park.
And then part of a lot of the, having the history and stuff helps with the grant.
Absolutely.
So Celia Bruner from the Jim Gatchel Museum is applying for a grant for $25,000 that will go mostly looking for funds for the fence. And then we also asked the county commissioners to help supplement $20,000, $5,000 to the dog park. And then in KC, we're also planning on doing a KC fight memorial where Nate Champion died. Laurel Foster has talked to some folks about getting a turnoff there on the highway and doing like a small bronze memorial and some signage to just tie it all back. And then we could also reference that memorial here at this park. We're just trying to also include Casey because they're a big part of Johnson County and they're important too, and the history there is all tied together with us. And then for a part of the grant for Sylvia is letters of support or participation. So the committee had asked if we could come and request letters from the city if they would be willing to potentially donate the land, if they would be willing to write a letter just saying that they're supportive of our plans and if they would be willing to donate the land, include that in their letter, which would help us get a grant approved. One thing I was really excited about yesterday, they were talking about potentially letting the kids in the schools design a logo for the dog park, and you could have like a $250 scholarship contest, and then whichever individual wins the contest, they could have the honor of cutting the ribbon of opening the dog park. A great way to include the kids. And also, we also talked about for the 4th of July events next year, having a dress your dog up as historical figures. So letting the kids dress up their dogs and having a dog contest, and then letting the kids walk in the parade with their dogs to try to tie it all back together and incorporate the dog park with the history and the Independence Parade. I think it would be really fun.
With the support I've heard for a dog park itself, it might be worth it just to ask for the public too. There's people that have told me, like, I'd be willing to spend some money to help put a dog park in, and we could probably get quite a bit in private donations. Even $50 for 10 people, it adds up in a hurry. And we could get a little more to help. If we want to add benches or something else in the dog park, we could add that with. Because I believe the bridge down on the bridge on Main Street next to the Main Street Bridge, I think that was done at the Bicentennial, I think, and that was with some private donations as well. But I think we could get public input and public buy-in. They would be willing to help with small amounts or maybe a large donor, who knows. But that'd be another opportunity for funding it.
When's the deadline?
June 2nd is the deadline. First, Sylvia had to get the letters all together, and then if there's anything that she needs to present before the council or the commissioners, she'd like to all together by June 2nd. And I appreciate you bringing that up. I'm in the process of writing a whole bunch of letters to organizations and entities within the community, asking for support, letters of support, or any other ways they would like to donate or contribute.
That's on our agenda tonight, right? About agreement to agreement to go to music planned or whatever you have to letter support, whatever you have, however it's worded.
The land.
The land that.
But then can the city then do a letter support after that?
Right.
Yeah, signed by the mayor.
Letter support with referencing that we've already allocated the land to her somehow.
Okay.
I got a question on the third bullet point of the park rules. Dogs must be leashed while entering and exiting the park. Now, you take that literally, that means you have to have the dog leashed when you go through the gate, and then you can unleash it, and then you can make sure you leash it when you leave. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct.
Because we have a leash law in the city. There's a leash law in the city, although
many don't follow it.
But this is a way to avoid the leash law problem, right? Unhook your dog and then go shopping.
Not if Izzy's there.
Huh?
Not if Izzy's there.
Not if my dog's.
In a rabbit seat.
Birds.
I don't.
That fifth bullet point needs owners must be within the dog park and supervising their dog with leash.
So do two bullet points down. Anything else for Operation Bella?
We asked Travis Lawrence for support.
Madam Vice, interagency support.
I really love that we have these county city meetings, and we all know that sometimes our positions are not easy. And I would just like us to come together, and like we do at these meetings, and when we're getting maybe advice or an earful, to ask people to contact, you know, I don't mind people about my phone number. I'm more than willing to go and speak with people. I do like face-to-face conversations better than phone conversations. But just our decisions that we make within our individual groups are not made in a vacuum, and there's always reasoning behind. And so if we can support that, and maybe take away some of the ugly that's on social media, I think it starts with us. And instead of being part of the problem be a solution? Like even with the signage, I would love if businesses would come and say, hey, could you put a sign at First Interstate Bank that says business is open, parking in rear? I know that's hard with the greenhouse because you can't park in the alley, but you can park on some of the side streets there. So you could say rear and side streets. So offering solutions, I think, is a positive way, or specifics. Because, again, collectively we're better than individually. So that's all I wanted to bring up.
Yes. Round table. Commissioner Shelley.
We will have nothing.
Sheriff, Commissioner.
Oh, thank you, Coach.
Nothing further.
Magic Mike. Mr. Chair. Madam Vice. Madam Clerk. Press. JCTA. Appreciate everybody coming together. There's more breakfast left, another cup of coffee for you to fill before you guys run off to your commissioner's meeting.
This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.